All right, everyone, welcome to the playoff edition of the Sports Gambling Podcast. I'm your host, Sean, making your money green. And I'm with my partner in picks, Ryan, Hot Hands Kramer. What's happening, Ryan?
I like that, Hot Hands.
Yeah, yeah, the Hot Hands over in Vegas.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, so, well, I feel like we got to start the podcast off with that story.
All right, well, yeah, we do. I'll set the stage. So I went out to Vegas for New Year's. We got out there. We were out there on Saturday, and we just started. We basically just started drinking like right after lunch. So 2 o'clock, we start drinking. What else is there to do in Vegas but gamble? So we gamble all day, drink all day. I lose tons of money. I lose like half the money I went with. It's looking like it's going to be a bad trip. End up passing out. So drunk, don't even...
Not so what time are you passing out? What time were you...
So this is probably about 3 o'clock in the morning. Okay. Finally pass out, and I set my alarm to wake up for the Sunday football games, because like, I got to wake up, I'll watch them, and get... You know, I didn't put all my bets in. Alarm goes off, body says nope, end up sleeping in, putting some bets in online. I end up finally rolling down like 10:30.
Ryan, this is a this
first weekend
a new,
in 3 years.
A new era of you going to Vegas when NFL football is going on and you not being able to get up for the games.
Well, it helped that the Giants were playing the night game.
It was week 17.
Urgency wasn't there. A lot of games I didn't give a shit about. But so things end up going. We start watching the games. I had one giant wager on Carolina over 24 points. Gets the halftime, it's 17 points.
Decide, wow, you're counting your eggs.
Feeling
right there.
Great. Counting decide we're gonna go. We're gonna go get some breakfast. Eat some breakfast. Come back. End of the third quarter. They haven't scored a point. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is not working out well. I was counting that money already. As it turns out, they don't score another point. So I'm doing all right. Went a little bit on NFL. Lost that bet, but hit a couple others. And you know, this leads to that. Now it's time to go watch the Giants play. So we head over to the Legacy Stadium, which, by the way, I've been there a bunch of times. Always been a great time. And this time, we get there. I reserve. So if you've never been there before, you call and you make a reservation, and they ask you what game you want to be watching.
It's Emerald's.
Yeah, it's Emerald Legacy. He has a restaurant / sportsbook in the Palazzo. It's a very awesome place to go if you're planning on watching one game. It's not the best place to go if you want to watch all the games, but... Anyway, just think sports bar / sportsbook with TVs everywhere. Really good food. So I make a reservation. And the girl's like, oh, what game do you want to watch? I want to watch the Cowboy-Giant game. I want one of the – and I reserved an area where they have these couches and like a coffee table and one big TV. So we get there. They seat us at one of them. And I noticed that the TV – first of all, I asked the waitress, can you put the game on? Like this is 10 minutes before kickoff. Oh, yeah, I'm not really sure how to do that. I'll ask someone. I'm like, all right, you work at a place that the only function is to watch games, bet on games, and eat food, right?
That's – and she probably sounded like this had never come
up
before.
The only reason this bitch is here is because they charge you a $50 minimum, basically.
Right.
Anyway, so whatever. She takes care of it, puts the game on, and – You start looking. I'm watching the thing, and the sound, the audio is completely off. Like they have the audio for Channel 4 for NBC on. I start turning around. Every other TV is synced up with the audio, but my TV.
Now it's a couple seconds behind.
It's like 4 seconds behind. It's like noticeably bad.
Oh wow!
So I go up to I ask the waitress again. She's like, oh, I have no idea. So I'm whatever. This chick's worthless. I go to the bartender. I'm like, look, this TV is like way off. Is there any way we could fix that? I'm thinking, like, maybe it's direct – like, they got the wrong NBC on.
Yeah, or maybe they have a – because sometimes you'll get two local stations of NBC.
Yeah, you got the one in the 300s and the one in the – whatever. So the guy looks at me. He's like, no, that's just the way that one is. And I'm like – like, not trying to be a dick. I was like, I don't understand what you're saying. So he looks at me. He's like, don't you see how that one doesn't have a label and every other TV in here has a label? I'm like, well, now I see because you pointed it out. What does that mean? Oh, that one's not on DirecTV.
Oh, so you were getting the local feed.
So I'm like, okay, so I made a reservation to watch a game, and you guys sat me at the only TV in the whole place that isn't on the right feed. Do you want to talk to a manager? I would love to talk to a manager. So I talked to the manager, and I just simply said, I'm like, why do you ask people what game they want to watch. If you anyway, long story short, they move us to a stupid, uncomfortable table. And the service was shitty. It was unbelievable. I've had really good experiences there. The service was really shitty. It was like they didn't give a fuck. But Giants won. Game ends with a tuck sack of Tony Romo. I win a little bit of money. I was a little nervous about the game. I didn't want to put a ton of money on it. So I won some money. I actually hit a little bit of a... I bet Victor Cruz to score the first touchdown, so that was fun.
Well, okay, here's a couple before I forget. A few weeks ago, one Bob Costas goes off on how the basically, you know, comparing touchdown celebrations to the end of the world and how this is a disgusting practice, even though Stevie Johnson had one of the most hilarious all-time touchdown celebrations where he faked shooting himself in the leg mocking Plaxico Burress. Hilarious. We all can agree, except, you know, guys with sticks up their ass like Bob Costas who go on tirades about it. Bob Costas, great sports journalist, but he's way off on that. 3 weeks later, Victor Cruz scores a touchdown, does his patented I'm a fruity salsa guy thing, and they cut in with salsa music for like 20 seconds. Did you catch that from
watching?
You
know, it was kind of loud where we were, so maybe not, but first of all, he's paying homage to his homeland. All right.
Where is he from? The Dominican or something?
I think his mom is part Cuban.
Okay. Well, whatever Cuban music is, yeah. As soon as he scored the touchdown, I've never heard them play music for a touchdown celebration. It was bizarre. It felt really weird hearing that.
The director really hates Bob Costas.
Exactly. He's like, okay, now we're going to make you look like an asshole, Bob Costas. And it's funny, like, who is running the NBC TV where they're going to put on Bob Costas, have him go off on this rant, and then they're also going to encourage touchdown celebrations by playing the guy's theme music? Makes no sense.
It's a classy one, Sean.
I guess so. And, yeah, same thing. I was not going to bet on the Dallas Giants game because I thought it could kind of go either way until right up to pregame, and then I saw them just keep zooming in on a picture of Tony Romo's hand, and I was like, wow.
How is that hand not broken? I don't understand that at all.
It looks awful. And then I thought, oh yeah, wait, it's Tony Romo in December. I gotta bet against Tony Romo.
I should also point out that I did have a decent-sized wager on the Giants to win the division at plus 250, so I kind of already had a plus 250 money line bet, so... Needless to say, I bet the first half, won that, enjoyed the game, watched them win. So long story short, we finish eating, and we decide that we want to go to a Fat Tuesdays to get one of those giant, sugary Everclear drinks and just get really drunk. At this point, I'm still down money. I don't really want to gamble more because I'm down. And so we head over to the Imperial Palace, the beautiful Imperial Palace. We head back to the little shitty Fat Tuesday booth, and we get some drinks. We're walking out. We decide, okay, let's play some craps. I cash in a bunch of money, start losing again. Lose. Gets to the point, we all agree, let's one more shooter. So
all great gambling stories start out like that.
Yeah, one last time. So if you're not familiar, there's a bet in craps called the fire bet. It's essentially a sucker bet you have to make before the shooter throws the dice for the first time, and you're essentially betting on unique points being hit. It starts paying out. There's six unique points, 4, 5, 6, 8, 9, 10. It starts paying out at 4, and then it increments up to 6. So I put $10 on the fire bet, thinking, whatever, let's just go for it. Guy starts rolling, rolls a 4. Four is a hard point to get. He rolls a 4 right away, rolls a 10 next point, rolls a 10 right away. Now at this point, he's knocked out the two hardest points in less than 5 minutes. He hasn't really rolled a lot of numbers. We're not actually making a ton of money on the game, but we're like, okay, this is a good start.
Hot shooter.
He's hitting points quickly, as we call him in the business trips. He's hitting that point and coming right back for dinner, you know? So next up.
It is funny, like, when you're sitting at a craps table, the guys you become friends with, and you feel like you're really connecting with these guys. It'll just be some, you know, 55-year-old black maintenance worker from New Orleans.
And you're high-fiving the shit out of
him. This, like, 72-year-old Nana, and then this, like, 25-year-old Asian dude. And you're just, like, the best of friends.
It's the best game in Vegas solely because of the camaraderie of just... I mean, with the exception
of... Blackjack can get like that if the dealer's playing really crappy, but yeah.
Craps is just fun. So anyway, so we've gotten 2 out of 6 points knocked out with 4 to go. At this point, we're like, okay, pretty good roll. We've won some money. He comes out with a 5. Boom. Okay, this is another point we need. Ends up hitting it pretty quickly again. Then he rolls a 9. Boom, knocks that out quickly. So at this point, we're already in the money. It pays.
So you hit 4 unique points. What's he's that, got 25 four,
he's
to
hit
1?
He's hit the 4 hardest points. It pays 25 to 1 at this point. You're guaranteed 25 to 1. The bet doesn't actually pay out till the roll's over. So I'm guaranteed $250 at this point. He's hit 4 points. He's hit some other numbers. I've made some money. I'm happy. It could be over for now. I probably won my money back. I'm back to even. Everything's good. And then it's like, well, not to get crazy, but let's roll 8 or 6 here. So then he rolls on the come-out roll, rolls a 7, which at that point is good. It's a win for the pass line, and it clears all of the come-bet odds. So kind of clears the table, feels like you won some money. You get a lot of money back. It kind of like gets the 7 out of the universe and exactly. You know, starts over. So then, boom, rolls an 8. 8's one of the points we need. Now it's kind of getting tense. We're like, okay, if he hits this, I go from $250 to $2,500. So this one's a little longer, a little more drawn out. Rolls number, boom, rolls that 8. So now my bet's gone from paying 25 to 1 to 250 to 1. So my $10 bet is now worth $2,500. So at this point, I'm done. I'm like, this is awesome. I just hit a jackpot.
Exactly.
I can walk away. Like, I'm going to be up money now.
But there's still 1 point left, isn't
there? So there's still 1 point left. And now it's like, okay, shit. So now the pit boss is calling people over. Because typically at a typical craps table, maybe 3 or 4 people are playing this bet. At this table, it was full. I'd say 8 or 9 people are playing the fire bet.
Yes.
Anywhere from $1 to $10. That's the max. And they're starting to call people over. Because they're going to have to – they can tell they're going to have to at least verify some – a decent amount of money being paid out. So then we're like, okay, all we need is a 6. First of all, he hasn't rolled any point twice at this point. Now we just need a 6. He rolls another 7. Boom, we win. Rolls an 11, I believe, and then boom, rolls that 6. So now he's on the point we need to win, and all
you
he needs
just
to do
need
is
another 6.
So
to
now,
hit the point.
Now basically, I need a 6 before. And if I had been thinking about it at the time, I should have just hedged. I should have hedged with like a $1,000 bet on 7. To come before 6, just to hedge my, because I was guaranteed money at this point.
Yeah, really.
I was too much in the moment. And
we're
just
thinking
like,
rationally.
If he rolls this 6, my bet's going to be worth, go from $2,500 to 10 grand. So this one's drawn out. And he's rolled like 5 numbers at this point. We're still alive. And at this point, I'm sitting there like, I just want him to roll a 7 or do something because my head's going to explode. Like, I don't know what to do.
Must have been crazy. What were people saying any kind of crazy, like, any good luck things going on?
It felt a lot like it must feel in a dugout when someone's throwing a no-hitter. Everyone's kind of like, we can't move from this spot.
No one's talking.
We can't screw up the mojo we got going here. Nothing can change right now. Like, someone's girlfriend came by, and he was just like, go away, go away. Just waving her away. Like, no one wanted to change anything at the table. So even the dealers, the stick man, they were supposed to change, and you could tell they just wanted to wait a couple throws.
Yeah, yeah.
So, boom, after about 7 throws, he throws, and I'm 24, it's 6, and the whole table just exploded. It was nuts. At that point, I'm looking at the table, and I'm like, holy crap, I just won $10,000 on a $10 bet.
That's
and
insane.
So at that point, his roll is not over now. So they pay out all the bets. They mark the last fire bet, which is like orange. It's the best color ever. And now they have like 3 pit bosses over. They're like, we need to start collecting your social security number and your ID. And basically they explained that because the payout was greater than 300 to 1 and it was over $5,000, not only were they going to issue a W-2, which they did to everyone at the table, they were going to withhold taxes from me. They withheld a quarter of the money I won for taxes.
That's crazy.
As the guy was explaining it to me, he seemed like he was expecting me to be pissed. And I was like, dude, I don't care. I won $7,500, whatever. So, long story short, he ends up crapping out his next point. Everyone gives him, you know, standing ovation. I guess we're already standing.
Anyone tip the deal? Like, what do you tip the dealer?
Okay, so that's
that,
when it gets weird. So, typically when you win like this, they pay out quickly, but because they probably paid out 30 grand on this bet. So once they paid everyone out, I like to throw the money. Because if you throw the money, it kind of gives everyone else the idea, oh, we should tip this guy. Now, luckily, he had bet the fire bet too. Otherwise, I would have felt bad. But
the shooter bet the fire
bet. He won like $2,000 or $3,000, and so I threw him $200. and a couple other people. He probably got like close to 500 in tips.
Oh, that's nice. And yeah, then what about the dealer themselves?
And then, well, I put a dollar on the fire bet for the dealers.
Oh, wow.
So the dealers won a grand off of me. And then I threw them, like, I think at the...
Mr. Kramer, we love you.
Yeah. I think when I colored out, I got, like, I gave him, like, a $200 tip. So, you know, it was a good... It was crazy. It was one of the craziest gambling stories I've ever experienced.
Insane, man. Insane. All right. Well, let's see here. Before we get to the NFL action, I feel like it's worth covering the Virginia Tech bowl game.
Oh, no.
You're a big Virginia Tech fan. Man, what a game that was against Michigan. It seemed like early on Virginia Tech was so in control of that game, and then they just kept going down, kept getting field goals, kept Michigan alive in the game. I bet Virginia Tech, but it was at 3 points, but I had a feeling, Ryan. I had a feeling. So
it was a good feeling.
I bought a half point to get it up to 3.5. Virginia Tech just could not figure out this first half. Michigan scored a touchdown just by Denard Robinson is not a good college football player, and he just he had like two plays where he chucked it up and they got lucky. I mean, if you know, it's easy to say like, oh, blah blah blah, they got lucky, but these really, the guy just stands and throws it up into a crowd, and luckily his receivers were able to make a play on the ball. Then Michigan runs at the end of the half. Michigan had gotten the ball back. Or no, wait. Wait.
Yeah, they fumbled. Virginia Tech fumbled.
Right. Virginia
Michigan
Tech fumbled
got field
after they
goal
got
range,
the touchdown.
And they run a fake field goal for some reason. Fails horribly, but bounces up in the air, and a Michigan lineman catches it. I'm not sure how he wasn't illegally downfield at that point, but whatever. Yeah, I don't know. Here's the thing. Virginia Tech routinely gets outcoached in these bowl games. But this was the worst I'd ever seen. And not only that, like that combined with some questionable calls.
There were bad calls on both sides, especially in overtime. I don't see – there was a catch in the end zone. The ball did not move. He had his arm underneath it. I really struggled to see how you call that a touchdown on the field and then how there was enough evidence to overturn that.
Yeah, I mean, the telltale sign is talking to Michigan fans, they're like, yeah, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
There were like a couple game-changing calls. The roughing the punter, which was –
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, that's basically what got the ball rolling for Michigan on their first touchdown drive was a roughing the kicker call, which clearly should have been running into the kicker. And that's what got them a first down, which they ended up getting a touchdown. Then they got that fake field goal that went wrong, that they were still able to kick a field goal. So they went into halftime up 10-6. You and I decided it would be a good idea to bet on Virginia Tech in the second half minus a half. So I had... You know,
more money on 3.5.
Yeah, exactly. I just threw more money on 3.5. It ended up going to overtime. Virginia Tech had a couple chances, couldn't pull it off, but they did lose by 3 points, so I covered the spread.
And to add insult to injury, both J. Ron Hosley and David Wilson declared eligible for the NFL draft, so I don't know. That was a tough one.
Tough day for Virginia
it's hard to
Tech.
It's hard to get too mad about an 11-win season or whatever they did.
Well,
12 wins.
One of the craziest calls, I think, was when they decided to – they were like at the 40, at Michigan's 40, 4th-and-1. They call a timeout, and you're like, oh, okay, they're going to go for it. That's why they call the timeout. They want to figure out to get the right play. They bring the punting unit on, and they run a fake punt, and it is the worst fake punt I've ever seen. The guy – I don't know if he was just – they snap it. It's 4th-and-1. You have this athletic, tall quarterback behind center. Okay, why not run a QB sneak? Whatever. You've been able to move the ball. Instead, they snap it 17 yards deep to the punter who
tries to run
for the first down and gets nowhere close.
What really sucks is Danny Cole – so the guy who was punting was also their starting wide receiver and starting punt returner. And he was probably one of the top 10 Virginia Tech players of all time. And that was just, I don't know what. I don't know if that was like an option he went with, but, what a bad game. I'm unofficially boycotting college football. Just, I mean, really, honestly, I was even. That pass interference call really killed me.
Dude, the reffing was really atrocious. Oh, a quick, before we get off college football, crazy ending in the Stanford game. Was it Oklahoma State Stanford, right? And you had – I was thinking of betting Stanford, I think, either +3.5 or +4. It was a great game, back and forth the entire game. Stanford had a chance to win outright, kicked I think this guy ended up going like 1-for-4. The field goal kicker had an awful day. Missed like a 35-yarder, something like that. Definitely a makeable field goal to send into overtime. He misses another one in overtime. Oklahoma State gets the ball back, so all they need to do is kick a field goal to win the game. But a lot of people like yourself had what? You had Oklahoma State -4?
-3.5.
-3.5. So you're right on that hook. They're driving down, and you're thinking, oh, well, this kind of stinks because all they need is a field goal to win. So that's what they're going to play conservative. Slant pass over the middle, catches it, runs for a touchdown. No, wait. They call it back. He was down on the one. And instead of going for it and just doing like a QB dive in for the touchdown, they center it and kick a field goal. So crazy game there, gambling-wise.
So the crazy thing is I brought this up with some folks at work about how you really feel bad for the kicker. He's like a freshman or a sophomore. He's going to be hated on campus.
Yeah, like the Boise State kicker. How is that guy still alive?
And someone's like, well, at least he's not one of those goalies in the World Cup where they get shot. And I was like, I don't know. He might – maybe that would be better off. I mean, he's he's going to be tortured for like at least 6 months, if not – I mean, he'll never be a good kicker now.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, I mean, kicking's such a mental game. I think it's tough to come back from that. Like even the Boise State kicker, I think, was a decent kicker. Those couple big misses he's had in the past few years, I don't think any NFL team will ever sign him. Speaking of the NFL, speaking of crunch time, Ryan, let's get to these week one of the playoffs, the wild card action. Man, a lot of ins, a lot of outs. Wild card teams have done well.
Before you start with the line, we just have to talk about how I think teams that needed to win this past weekend went like 2-5.
I know.
Really pathetic. I mean, the Bengals, the Jets,
yep.
the Titans almost blew it to a team that didn't need the game at all.
Right. Houston really should have.
Against Jake DeLome.
Yeah, Jake DeLome came down. They couldn't stop Jake DeLome. It's been a weird year. I feel like I say this every year with the NFL because there's always something
weird.
How did
Detroit lose that game? I know that they're already in the playoffs and it's just seeding, but Detroit wins that game. They come to New York to play the Giants. They blew that game. Now they go to New Orleans to play. That's a must-win game. They lost it.
Matt Flynn, 6 touchdowns, 480 yards. I'll tell you one thing, Ryan. I'll tell you one thing I didn't like. They showed Aaron Rodgers on the sideline with a noisemaker, like, beep, blowing his little noisemaker. He's always the guy hanging out in pictures, like, making wacky faces. I got a feeling that smirk's about to be wiped off him, either in the divisional round or the conference round, Ryan. You heard it here first. The Green Bay Packers will not be representing the NFC in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be surprising. Their offensive line's banged up. Their defense is horrible.
Well, and just if you follow trends, and it's a trend until it's not a trend, as we've learned in the National Football League.
That's true.
Number one seeds have not done well making the Super Bowl in the past decade or so. Here's another little thing. I think the Wall Street Journal printed this statistic. New England Patriots, one of only like 9 teams to make it in the playoffs without beating a team that was over 500.
Wow.
That was pretty crazy. And you always hear about, oh, so-and-so had such a hard schedule, and the Patriots must have been playing a first-place or second-place schedule, but forever it worked out. They did not beat a team that was over 500 this year. And they went 13-3. And they showed the other teams that had made it in the playoffs. Most of them weren't good teams. They were like the Cardinals 9-7 or, you know, Seattle maybe 8-8, those kind of teams. But I didn't factor in that the Patriots,
You want another
teams.
Factoid?
Sure.
Giants, toughest schedule of playoff teams, third toughest overall.
Another factoid. Apparently they, I don't know if you saw Penn State, they hired Bill O'Brien.
Yep.
And I guess they're saying the main reason was he did a great job of covering up the scandal of the sodomy involved between Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. So they said that was the main reason. I don't know why all these Penn State fans are mad at hiring Bill O'Brien. What kind of coach do you think you guys were going to get?
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised any coach would take that. That's like if I'd rather be the offensive coordinator of the New England Patriots than to try to salvage this mess.
Well, why not ride it out until Tom Brady or Bill Belichick go, and then you're the offensive coordinator of one of the greatest.
Or get a head coaching job in the NFL. I mean, that's the kind of the stepping stone. Josh McDaniels got a job off of it, you know?
Exactly. You've been the offensive coordinator for Tom Brady for all these years. you could probably get a pretty good head coaching job in the NFL. I don't see what the draw is of going into this Penn State program. And you know the guy that's going to succeed at Penn State isn't the guy right after Paterno. There's going to be a 2-3 year window. Then they're going to fire this guy. And then, because all this shit's still going to be coming out about all the accusations, blah, blah, blah. All right, let's get to the lines, Ryan. First up, Saturday, wild card weekend. Cincinnati Bengals heading into Houston to face the Texans. Texans, now it's up to 4 points. The line opened up at -3, although it seemed like there was a lot of action flowing that way, so they had to move it to -4. Ryan, what are your thoughts on this game?
It's hard to like Cincinnati. I mean, if you look at Cincinnati, they haven't really done much against good teams. They had they're your typical – I think you have a couple of teams like this every year that they just – you know, this is going to be a good team to bet the under on next year. They had a easier schedule, and they kind of snuck in. I mean, they had no – you watch the way they played the last week. They don't really have any place in the playoffs.
Andy Dalton's kind of hitting the wall. I mean, he started off good against slow competition. A.J. Green's still playing well. But I think look at the Ravens beat the Bengals simply by just running Ray Rice on pretty much the same play every time, and that's kind of what Houston does best. I mean, they put it in the hands of their running game, they take the ball out of the quarterback's hands, and that's how they win the game. I mean, you look at Joe Flacco, not a great quarterback. He was on the road, and they were still able to put up good points because of their running game. And I expect Houston to kind of have a similar game plan. T.J. Yates, all right. Yes, his shoulder's a little sore. It sounds like he's okay. Yes, there is a chance Jake Delhomme comes into that game. And yes, I'm a little scared of 4 points. I really like this at 3 points. I'm hoping maybe the line moves down to 3.5. I can buy that half point, get it down to 3. But for right now, I'm going to still stay with Houston Texans -4.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's hard to not. I will say this though. Now, you know, it's the one thing about Houston is even though their offense hasn't looked great, they still have a really good defense. So I just don't see where Cincy's going to get a ton of points.
Andre Johnson back. I mean,
that at least stretches the field and makes them think. Yeah, I like Houston here. I like Houston, and I like. Do you have the over-unders over there, Sean?
Yeah, the over-under right now is at 38.
Yeah, see, this is a game I kind of like the over on, like the sneaky over, because that's a low total. And I think Houston has a bit of a coming-out party and starts to scare people in the playoffs, you know, because don't sleep on them. Yeah,
right. I could really see this game being Houston 24, Cincinnati 17. I think the game will be kind of close, but I see Houston winning by 7, hopefully. Maybe 4, maybe a 24-20, but I do like that over 38. That feels low to me.
Yeah, anything over anything under 40, 41 it seems low.
All right, let's move over to the Detroit Lions heading into New Orleans where they're getting 10.5 points. Detroit Lions. Ryan, is that enough to beat the New Orleans Saints against the spread at home?
You know, all week I've been talking about how I want to take Detroit +10.5. That seems like a lot of points. And then I slowly started talking myself into the fact that this feels like the same thing as when they set a line at 3.5 or 7.5, and they kind of bait you into taking that underdog. Honestly, I just don't see Detroit keeping. They're not going to be able to slow down the game. And New Orleans has showed they don't give a shit about running up the score. About not running up the score. I think New Orleans rolls here, and as crazy as it sounds, I mean, even that over-under is at 58, 59. I don't see how it goes under. I mean, this to me feels like a game where New Orleans puts up in the 40s and Detroit puts up 21, and they just win handily. I really like the favorites this weekend, which makes me a little nervous, but I'm all over. I just don't see how I can take Detroit because I don't think Detroit can win, and essentially I'm just sitting here wanting. I'm rooting for them to keep pace and hopefully backdoor it.
Well, right. That was a similar strategy we had last week going in, taking Carolina 7.5. It was like, all right, Carolina can move the ball, and obviously Detroit's a better team than Carolina, Detroit being a dome team going into a dome. I think Yeah, I think here's where I think New Orleans has a huge advantage, and why New Orleans is a much different team than they were in the past, and why I think they're set to make a run here is Darren Sproles. I think having a guy like Darren Sproles out of the backfield, someone you can check down to very quickly, can make a huge difference. You get Detroit's defensive line putting a lot of pressure on. Sproles is a great weapon out of the backfield. I mean, besides their vertical passing game, they can move the ball downfield. That's not a problem. But I think having that underneath aspect and having Darren Sproles running for you, I think I'm going to have to take New Orleans minus 10.5. But I think if I bet this and it could take the half point, I would, just to feel a little safer at 10. But I'm going to disagree, Ryan. I'm going to go under 59.5.
Yeah, that's a smart play. You should, anytime there's a total this high, you should take the under. But I really have a feeling New Orleans has been putting up 40 something points a game in their last four games. They're just going to do. Watch the way Detroit's secondary played against Green Bay? I mean, I don't see how they're going to slow down this offense. I don't see how they're not going to give up 28 points in the first half. I mean, if anything, take the Saints over. I don't know what the Saints over-under is. Let's assume they're going to set – so what's the spread? 10. So the Saints over-under will probably be right around – holy crap.
39?
No, 35, I bet. I bet 35 is the total.
Oh, I see it being like 35-14. I think Saints defense comes up a little bit and Detroit
you know what?
Has a hiccup.
That, I'll say of all the – I don't feel strong about either the Saints or the over, but I feel really strong about the Saints over.
The Saints point total over.
Yeah, hopefully it's not 35.5, but I mean, because
It'll
be 35. I think they'll set it right at 35, and I love that.
Yeah, I think that's a fair bet. Even though I like the under, if you can just do the straight up New Orleans points bet, I kind of like that. And all right, I listened to the Bill Simmons podcast, and they have this Dillweed Aaron Schatz on from Football Outsiders. You know, one of these stat nerd guys, never played a football game day in his life. Obviously, just from his physical appearance, he kept saying, "Oh, you know, the New Orleans actually their home field advantage is not as big as you would think." I mean, well, this was, of course, before the Drew Brees era, but even in the Drew Brees era, the splits between the home and away are not as much of a disparity as you would think. He had this, and I was like, oh, really? That's surprising, because in my head, I'm thinking, Saints at home are unstoppable. And maybe he was talking about the difference in their DVOA or weighted DVOA.
I honestly think the bigger difference isn't so much in how the Saints play, but it's how the other team plays. I think maybe the Saints are the same team on offense, but I think other teams just don't play as well on defense on that turf. I don't know what it is.
Points per game at home, 41. Points per game on the road, 27.
Yeah.
That's a 14-point – that's a huge difference.
Oh, look, I'm not going to – I agree. I mean, he was also – his stat was over a 10-year stretch. I mean, it wasn't – I don't even know why he brought it up.
Right. In this season, 41 points a game at home versus 27 points on the road is a huge difference.
And to give you an idea, no surprise here, the Football Outsiders, which is where Aaron Schatz comes from, they like they actually do like Houston at -3, but I bet at -4 they would like every dog. They like every dog this week, which is never surprising because that's, you know, that's how statistics work. Everything regresses to the mean. Anyway,
Ryan. Any prop bets for this Detroit Lions, New Orleans Saints bet? Oh, yeah, and I think we skipped over. Let's get some prop bets going, Ryan. This is the time of the year when prop bets. That's the only thing we don't like about the Super Bowl. It's only one game to bet on.
But there's a shitload of props. You have a lot of the same typical stuff. There's a couple fun just playoff bets, like how many wildcard teams will win this weekend?
Okay.
Over under 1.5. The over is -180. The under is +140. We kind of talked about this a little offline, but
yeah, our thinking was that Pittsburgh being an 8-point favorite is such kind of a lock as far as one of the wildcard teams hitting that you're really not getting a lot of value there, because if you think one of the wildcard teams hits, you're probably just better off laying a few different money line bets or figuring it out that way. I think you have a lot more value.
Yeah. And the other one is, will a wild card team win the Super Bowl. Yes is plus 650. No is minus 1200.
And so wait, now, real quick, is it just the team that got in on the wild card?
The wild card seeds.
Oh, okay. So it doesn't. Oh, okay. So in this case,
not they're playing. So basically,
because you had said the Giants, but then they're.
Oh, that's right. They're not a wild card. Yeah. So that's actually a bad bet.
Yeah.
You're essentially getting the Steelers.
You're getting the Bengals, the Lions, the Falcons, and the Steelers, right?
So here's the better bet. So will a wild card team play in the Super Bowl? You can bet no for minus 285.
Yeah, I mean, that seems like a great bet looking at these four teams. But historically, the wild card teams have gotten in more so than a number one seed.
Playing in the wild card round.
Yeah, I think there's a huge advantage these days to playing this with the rhythm passing league that we're living in right now. The way people are winning games, not with smash mouth defense and running the ball, they're winning with spreading guys out, running out of the shotgun, not getting, getting pass interference, getting roughing the passer calls, moving the ball that way. I think when you get out of rhythm in this bye week late in the season, I don't think that helps you. In fact, I think it hurts you. Specifically, the Patriots last year. I think you could make a case that having that week off hurt them and messed up their rhythm because their offense was on a nice roll there. So any specific...
So we want to talk Cincinnati-Houston.
Let's get some Cincy-Houston
props. I'll tell you, one prop that pops out to me is A.J. Green, over under 67.5 yards. Now, the way I see it, they're going to be losing this game. They're going to have to throw a couple of those bombs to A.J. Green. I kind of like this over here.
Yeah, I think I like him over 75 yards here. What is the money pretty even?
It's pretty even. Over is minus 125, under is minus 105.
No, I feel good about Cincy.
I would say that one for sure.
Or, I mean, A.J. Green.
That one for sure sticks out to me. Another one, if we're talking Cincy and Houston, who will pass for more yards in this game? T.J. Yates, Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton minus 9.5. I think he clearly passes for more yards because TJ, they're going to be ahead. They're going to be running the ball, pounding the rock. I think Andy Dalton might. This feels like a game where Yates throws for like 220 yards and Dalton.
Well, and you also have the fact that there's a chance Yates could be injured. Or I think in either scenarios, if they're winning, even if they're losing, they're still going to be trying to get the. I think they'll still be running the ball. I don't see them getting blown out by Cincinnati, so I think they're still going to be pounding the rock. Also, Andy Dalton listed as probable with an illness. That's another reason I was thinking that why I kind of like Houston minus 4. Rookie quarterback, sick, going on the road for a Saturday game. This is a short week, too. You forget that this is... You think, oh, okay, this is your typical Sunday game, but a Saturday game is... This is one day less of rest, and I think that kind of compounds things for a young team going on the road. Obviously, T.J. Yates, no seasoned veteran, but all right, Ryan, we got any more Cincy Houston, or are we gonna move?
No, that game. I mean, honestly, of all the bets, I really like. I would say the two things I'll probably wager on are I think I like the over. I like Houston, and I like that A.J. Green over.
All right, let's take a look at Detroit-New Orleans. You got any props there?
Yeah, so this feels like they're giving money away. Matthew Stafford, over under 315 yards passing.
Yeah.
How does that not go over?
Yeah, they don't run the ball a lot, and even if they are getting Kevin Smith involved in the game,
he just threw for like 600 yards against the Packers. Yeah.
Even if he has a down game and throws for 400.
The other one is this kind of a complimentary bet, but Calvin Johnson's over-under, what would you guess it would be?
Over-under yards?
Yeah.
See, I kind of like betting the under here. I don't know what it's going to be at. I'm guessing 115?
100.
Okay. I kind of...
Go under, you think?
I kind of like the under here. I'll tell you why, Ryan. He's a little banged up, and I feel like that's going to be the guy they're focusing on.
Garbage yards, though, I guess.
Well, yeah, there could be garbage yards late. But remember when we had that prop bet on... On Calvin Johnson.
I do.
Six receptions. We're like, there's no way.
Yeah.
And the Lions get away from that.
That's true. That was that game against the Saints. God.
Yes. And that's, you know what? Oh, man. I like the Saints, but I don't know, man. Part of me, a little bit of me is thinking about Detroit.
All right, well, real quick.
Because of the points.
Man. Real quick.
And because they played New Orleans tough.
They did. Tough to beat a team twice, right, Sean?
Yeah, and there was a lot of penalties in that game. But, I mean, I don't know if Detroit's cleaned that up between now and then.
Well, this is a fun bet. Will Sue get a 15-yard penalty? Yes, plus 200.
That's a fun thing to bet, especially if you're a Saints fan. Just throw, like, $25 on that little walking around money if Sue goes off.
But here's the one. Oh, I like Stafford the most, honestly. Stafford over 315. But second favorite, Drew Brees over under 335.5 yards. I like the under at plus 110. They're going to get up, and they're going to – I think they're going to milk – I have a feeling once they get to be ahead 35 to whatever, they're going to slow the game down.
Well, you also forget that these crazy passing numbers that Drew Brees was putting up going into this week.
Going for a record.
Yes, he was going after Dan Marino's record. So I think – and especially once you get a lead, you're going to be a little more conservative. And that's another reason why I kind of like the under 59.5. I think of those bets in that Detroit-New Orleans game, I like under 59.5 just because first off, this was the highest over-under ever set for a wild card, and it was getting bet up by the public. So anytime the public sees a bet that's a sure thing and guys are just throwing large sums of money on it, it's usually a decent idea to go the opposite way.
So one more real quick. Over-under for the Saints, first half points, 18.5.
Wow, that feels pretty good. So then they must be setting the over-under.
35.5.
35.5.
Yeah, that makes it tricky. I still think you got to go over. I think they get to 38 at least.
35, you buy that half point for that one.
Yeah.
All right, Ryan, let's move over to Sunday. Your game, your New York Giants, winners of the NFC East, or NFC Least, as it's turned out to be. Hosting the Atlanta Falcons. Atlanta coming into town with the standard plus 3. Going up against the New York Giants. Ryan, give me a reason why you would bet the Atlanta Falcons.
They seem to be the one underdog that has the most legitimate shot. They're a solid team. Here's the thing with the Falcons. Look at their schedule. And I'll pull it up right now. They haven't really beaten anyone good. Let alone beating anyone good at home or on the road. So,
right.
I'm not sure.
But you could also make a – yeah, I mean, the Giants, though, they've also – I mean, they're 9-7, too. It's not like they've been pillars of consistency.
That's true. But I'm going to check this out. All right. Here's what Atlanta's done. They beat a bad Philadelphia team week 2 at home.
They weren't that bad then.
They were pretty bad then. They beat Seattle in Seattle, barely. Seattle almost came back to win that game, if you remember.
Right. Seattle also beat New York at home.
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
Just playing devil's advocate,
okay, that's
right?
Fair. That's fair. They beat Carolina at home. I guess that's a decent offense, but an atrocious defense. At Detroit is probably their best win in a dome. Then they beat the Colts. They beat Tennessee. They beat Minnesota. They beat Carolina, Jacksonville, and Tampa. Now, none of those really jump off as like, oh, okay, great. So, great road win, I'll give Detroit, right? So, I don't know. I just – here's the thing. The Giants, their defensive front is finally healthy and they're playing well. I think that's one thing you can't really argue. They're getting after the quarterback. And if they can get up on the Falcons and kind of force them out of their bullshit, give the ball to Michael Turner game, I think Matt Ryan on the road, that's all you have to say.
Yeah, I mean, I see where you're coming from. I guess my argument I like the Giants here minus 3. Look, I'll tip my hand there and say that's what I'm picking here. My reasoning for why you would bet the Falcons and just kind of why I'm not as confident. I think you got to think of that Redskins game. The Giants, they kind of have a formula out there for how they can be beat. I think, like you said, if they can keep the ball in Michael Turner's hands, you got Julio Jones. Here's what it's going to be. There's a huge mismatch here, the Atlanta Falcons receivers against the backfield of the New York Giants. Now, the New York Giants hide the weakness in their backfield by getting a strong pass rush with 4 guys. So it'll come down to, can they slow down the Giants enough and slow down that pass rush enough by establishing the run game to to give Matt Ryan enough time to throw the ball downfield where he has some mismatches. I don't think it'll be enough, and I like Eli Manning's experience, his playoff experience, so that's why I'm going to go with the Giants -3, but I'm thinking that's the logic of how Atlanta would win the game.
Yeah, that's fair.
And the Giants' problems on offense, I mean, you know, if Jacobs doesn't show up running the ball hard, you know, they can fall into a trap of not performing. And same thing with Dallas. I think we're kind of higher on the Giants, too, because of the way they played against Dallas. But I think that Dallas team came in, and that Dallas team really looked like they had quit. Maybe Giants got a little ahead of themselves, seemed like they were celebrating a lot. I feel like I don't know this Atlanta team that well. That's what scares me.
One thing to point out about Atlanta, they do have a bad special teams. And bad special teams plus the wind at the Meadowlands, that could create a problem. Not that the Giants have a great special teams, but they were, you know, the Giants special teams is average. Atlanta's is bad. That with the lack of experience from Matt Ryan throwing in those swirling winds, who knows?
Okay, over under.
I like the under here.
I was just going to say that. I like under 47.5. That's where the line is currently.
Seems a bit high.
A little bit high. I like this at 44, the over.
This feels like a 21-17 game.
Yeah, even like 24-21, you're still under.
Yeah, I like the under here.
I don't see both teams getting in the high 20s. I think if one team does, then it's like a 28-10 type scenario. Even 28-14, you're good. I think you're pretty well covered under 47.5. I haven't gotten a weather report, Ryan.
While I'm looking up the weather report, one thing I do like here is the over under for sacks is at 4. And you know, Eli was
total team sacks,
total for game,
game sacks.
And the way that the Giants are getting out of after the quarterback right now, that just seems like a lock. I don't know. Maybe I'm. I mean, for you to tell me that Eli won't get sacked once and Matt Ryan won't go down, what, 3 times? It seems like...
Yeah, you got a lot of wiggle room there, too. Push at 4 is
all right,
fairly
so this,
easy to
this
get
is,
to.
This is looking great for the partly sunny and a high of 44. So it's going to be a pretty nice day.
Here's the thing. Matt Ryan's wearing long sleeves. Against him.
Yeah, definitely.
That's when I knew to bet against Tony Romo, too. When a quarterback's wearing long sleeves. Ryan, am I tapping into something here? I feel like I got to look at the numbers here, but I think...
What kind of long sleeves?
He was wearing loose long sleeves.
Yep, that's the Eli Manning style.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Tested.
I feel like you got to go tight long sleeves if you do anything. I don't want anything hanging loose off my throwing arm.
Didn't stop Eli from beating the Packers in Green Bay 4 years ago. That's right. I brought it up.
You brought up the long sleeves. I would like to see that, though. I feel like a guy wearing long sleeves, a quarterback, versus a guy not wearing long sleeves, a quarterback, I'm going to take the guy not wearing sleeves each time. There's a certain sense of confidence when you're not putting those sleeves on, Ryan.
All right, so a couple...
Any interesting prop bets?
Not a ton, honestly. You know, if anything, no one seems to be able to stop Victor Cruz. His over-under is 85.5. Eli's is 295.5. Those all seem relatively high.
295 seems high for me. But then, you know,
then
but
again, he threw for 5,000 yards this year, so he's done.
Did?
Eli, he like 4,980.
God, it's like 5,000 yards is meaningless now. It's crazy.
Well, the crazy thing about Eli's is that they don't have that same like New England and Drew Brees offense where they're chucking it out to the side. They rarely do that. I mean, definitely he was benefited a couple times from Victor Cruz busting a 10-yard pass into an 80-yard pass, but
yeah.
They definitely don't have as many of those swing pass, like run plays almost. But yeah, other than that, not a ton of props that really pop. I mean, the other one is maybe take the over for field goals, 3.5.
Yeah, but I don't like that. I'm not taking
in the Meadowlands.
I'm not taking a field goal over in... Or MetLife Stadium, or whatever that piece of crap is.
Call Giant Stadium.
Anything with anything on the East Coast, I'm not taking it over in field goal bets. All right, Ryan, we ready to move on to Pittsburgh, Denver?
Oh yeah.
First off, I found it really hilarious that Ben Roethlisberger was complaining that all the media was doing was talking about Tim Tebow. It's like, dude, with all your problems, why are you clamoring for more media attention?
Yep. It's Jesus versus the guy that raped some bitches.
Yes, the ultimate karma ball. Brian Dawkins out. I don't know if you saw that. John Ponytail Clayton reported that recently.
Is that good or bad?
I don't know.
He'll still be on the sideline, yes?
Well, they said Brian Dawkins is out, but Weapon X is probable. Yeah, so,
yeah. As long as he's on the sideline,
Brian Dawkins, alter ego. Yeah, I feel like all he has to do, he doesn't really have to be on the field, as long as he can just shake guys' helmets and tell them this is what we play for. It is funny that the Denver Broncos have the two basically extreme opposites and super religious guys. They have Tim Tebow, the white, kind of like, play by the rules. Hey, I'm a good Christian. And then they have the other extreme, like...
It's like the uptight pastor and the crazy gospel pastor.
Exactly. The fire and brimstone preacher, Brian Dawkins, on the other. Both super religious. They're both like, kneel down and pray. All right. A lot of factors to take into account of this game. I think in my mind, what tipped the scale, Ryan, is hearing that the Pittsburgh Steelers starting center was out.
Pouncey, yeah, that's a big deal.
Pouncey is out. Mendenhall's out. I don't know who is
Ryan Clark out because his strain of sickle cell like fucks his blood up at altitude.
Really?
Yeah. So they're basically they found out a couple years ago because he played it and almost died at Mile High, I guess.
Oh wow!
But so he can't play at Mile High.
That's
so they're starting. Arguably, they're bet like I guess by the numbers, he actually played better than Polamalu this year. So they're missing their best safety, one of their better defenders.
Who are they starting for running back?
Isaac Redman, who although Mendenhall's out, don't think it's a big deal. Redman actually played pretty well down the stretch. Mualde Moore is a third down back. I think the Mendenhall thing is a bit overblown. I'm looking at the forecast right now. It's a night game, essentially, right? It's the 4:30 start.
Yeah, 4:30. So it'll be starting
what, 2:30?
No, it'll be Denver's 2 hours ahead, so it'll start 3:30. So the first half will be light, second half night game. Or actually, it'll probably be like setting a little bit.
Okay, so snowy.
Ooh.
And a low of 16. So wow. it's probably going to be sitting there around mid-20s. It's going to be cold. Now Pittsburgh's a cold weather team, but that crowd's going to be fired up.
The crowd is going to be jacked, man.
Here's what I'll tell you this. All week I've been going back and forth. Do I take Denver? I mean, I think the smart play is probably to lay the points. This line seems to be creeping up. I saw it up to 9 in some places.
Yeah, because if you're 8, then maybe just buy a point and then get a Pittsburgh minus 7.
But what I really like this under. I mean, the Broncos
this
play.
This is so low of an under.
It's 33.
And a half.
33 and a half. I like it. I'm taking the under. I just think the way they slow the game down mixed with the fact that if Pittsburgh gets up, they'll kind of like shut it down offensively because Ben's not that healthy. I like the under. I don't see a bunch of field goals getting kicked in this weather. Maybe a lot of missed field goals, a lot of punting from the 40.
Prater, though. He owns Mile High, Ryan.
You know what?
I think that's the only way they score.
I really want to do it. I really want to just go Broncos money line parlayed with the under. But no, Pittsburgh's going to win this game. The money, the smart money is to parlay the under with Pittsburgh money line.
Right, tease that down even.
But I'm not sure they can cover. That's a big spread. They haven't really covered a big spread in a while.
I like Denver 8. Give me Tebow at home, 8 points. If you're going to go down in flames, go down with my man Tim Tebow getting 8 points.
But, yeah, so...
I don't know. I guess, I'll take the over here, 33.5. It's just too low for me to take the under, but yeah, I could.
Over, under, first half points for Denver, 7.
I like the under. I mean, don't you? How do they score twice?
That's hard, man.
Their defense hasn't been putting up points. I don't think they scored twice in the first half.
Hard to argue that.
8 points, though. That feels good, man. 8 points for Tim Tebow. That feels good. And even if they're up by 2 scores, you know Pittsburgh's going to play a soft zone and kind of let him get that touchdown. I think that's what the problem was against Kansas City, was that they were only down 1 score the entire game. So Kansas City could never get in pre-event, where that's when Tebow really gets his momentum going. That's where That's where all these comebacks came. They came from, you know, he was down multiple scores. And that's what allowed him to kind of get his mojo going against the prevent defense and allowed him to get those two or three scores.
Sean, I'm going to blow your mind with a prop right now.
No, don't do it, man.
Over-under interceptions for Tim Tebow.
It's got to be two, right?
A half.
What?
Yeah. Over is minus 130. I don't know. What am I missing here?
Well, that's that whole thing of that.
Are they not going to throw it at all? Is that why?
How many did he throw in Buffalo? Six? Well, then again, they are talking about bringing Brady Quinn in. Yeah, these odds makers are sharp, but... All right. I'm going to put my entire life savings on Tim Tebow throwing an interception.
Yeah, we should also, real quick, this wild card weekend brings us a great opportunity for a three-team, 10-point teaser.
All right, Ryan, let's that sounds like a good way to wrap things up, because there's not many picks here to do locks or upset specials. Unless you want to do a lock.
The upset special is tough. I mean, I guess if you're picking one, it's Atlanta, right? Atlanta plus 135?
Yeah, I guess so.
I guess. I mean, obviously the bigger ones are the fun ones. Like, the Denver one, obviously, is the Seattle game from last year. You take it, you get the plus 350, and, you know, have fun with it. Put a little bit, nice little lottery ticket, nice Sunday afternoon treat, maybe.
Yep.
My lock would be, God, I can't say the Giants. My lock would be the under in that Giants game, I think.
I like the I feel like my lock is between Houston.
Or the over in that Houston game.
Houston Texans minus four and the over. And then I really like the New Orleans under 59.5. I feel.
But here's where you make your money. You go.
All right, let's go three-team, 10-point tease.
You go to your local bookie. You say, sure. I want to do a three-team teaser.
What do you got
here?
You
tell them, give me Saints minus a half.
Ooh.
Give me Pittsburgh plus two. Ooh. Give me Pittsburgh, Denver, under 43.5.
All right. Now, why not just, if you're so confident about this under, why not just go Denver 18? I guess there's a chance they get totally whooped.
Because Pittsburgh wins that game. No way Pittsburgh loses that game.
I don't know, Ryan. I don't know. A little Tebow magic in the air? Okay. Well, I say, all right, I'll take the... The Detroit New Orleans under, tag that up to 69.5.
That's a lot of points.
That's a lot of points. I'll take Houston plus six at home.
Oh,
that feels really good.
Feels great.
Granted, maybe Bengals.
I will say seven. I thought about going Giants plus seven at home, but left that.
And
one
I'll
home.
Go. Yeah, I'll go Giants plus seven at home. I'm not afraid to jinx them.
I feel like you might have just picked the three-team teaser that goes wrong all three ways.
Really, the reverse three-team tease.
Hey, write that down. I want to see what happens with that one.
Okay. Houston plus six. Oh, so you're not confident the Giants will win?
I feel like you just jinxed them.
Sweet. Detroit, New Orleans, under 69.5. All right, Ryan. Feels like a wrap things up. You want to give us who do you like in the Super Bowl right now? Give us a Super Bowl matchup and potential spread.
I'll tell you what. I got a feeling that Pittsburgh is going to the Super Bowl. I have a feeling that, because if they win and Houston wins, they can go to New England. They beat New England already, and then possibly setting up a match. Honestly, I think the championship game will be Pittsburgh and Houston. I just have a feeling. I think Houston.
Wow.
I think Houston goes to Baltimore and beats Baltimore.
It's nothing to do with the fact that you have Houston to win the AFC.
Nothing to do with that.
All right.
So I'm going to go. I think Pittsburgh represents the AFC. And honestly, at this point, I gotta go Drew Brees. I will say this. If the Giants play the Packers in the second round, give me the Giants getting whatever amount of points they get. Probably eight. But I think you gotta go Drew Brees right now. You gotta go the Saints. I think the Super Bowl in Indy on turf. I think you're looking at a New Orleans minus 4.5, 5 points. Probably 4.5. I think New Orleans laying 4.5, and I think New Orleans, if New Orleans goes on a run and makes the Super Bowl, I think they win handily.
Here's what I'll tell you, Ryan. I like the New England Patriots to win the AFC, and a team that no one is talking about in the NFC, the San Francisco 49ers.
All right, there you go.
And the 49ers will lose the Super Bowl to the Patriots, unfortunately. I'll say Patriots by 6 at kickoff.
Wow. Interesting. That's the one way where you, if you feel that way, you should really buy the NFC side of the prop, or the AFC side of the prop right now, because I think you can get AFC plus 4.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's just kind of a, you know, throwing it out there prediction. Really, I think, you know, I'm just trying to go a little contrarian here. Just because I feel like people are tired of hearing about Green Bay and New Orleans. And I think New Orleans could lose in San Francisco.
If you like that.
And I, here's my real lock is Green Bay not to win the Super Bowl. I feel like I should be able to bet. If Green Bay to win the Super Bowl is 7-5, shouldn't there be like a reverse bet on that?
It wouldn't be. Yeah, you should be able to get decent odds on it, but. So San Francisco versus New England, that prop bet, if you were to bet those two teams to face each other, 12-1. That's not a bad – honestly, the better payout is I believe you can get San Francisco
– to win the Super
to
Bowl.
To win the NFC
with
5-1.
Yeah, or you could just go San Francisco to win the Super Bowl and then bet against
San Francisco to win the Super Bowl 6-1 right now. Not bad for a two seed.
What's what are the Giants?
Giants, 10-1. To win the NFC.
See, now where was... Oh, no, to win the NFC. Where? What is Giants to win the Super Bowl?
18-1.
Yeah, see, I would throw money on that if I were
This is all on the newly rebranded Bovada.com, formerly Bodog.
Yeah, there's all these new ways now. It sounds like they're figuring out ways to get around gambling kind of legally.
God bless Indian reservations.
God bless Indian reservations. God bless sports gambling. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to the Sports Gambling Podcast. You can subscribe to the podcast at Sports Gambling Podcast. You can also click the Amazon link there, support our sponsor. Or you can go to winthetrophy.com, enter the referral code STG. You can do free fantasy gambling there. You can pick the games this week, and you don't lose any money. You can win credits, and the more credits you win, counts for real cash. It's pretty simple, guys. Anything else you want to throw out there at KramerCentric?
You know, I want to send a plug out to jerseyporkroll.com. Hopefully my shipment of Taylor ham will get here by the playoffs so we can enjoy some Taylor ham, egg, and cheese on
Yeah, Ryan, what are we doing? What's on the menu for this weekend of football?
If my Taylor ham gets here tomorrow, we're going to be eating some Taylor ham, egg, and cheese on English muffins. If not, you know, the huge
McDonald's breakfast.
And that's right.
We haven't done much cooking this NFL season. All right, everyone, for the Sports Gambling Podcast, I'm Sean Green, and he's
Ryan Kramer.
Let it ride.